It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great MMA show. It's here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Thank you so much for joining me today on the Amber May Show. We have a great program lined up. I think it affects everybody. It's the illusion of control. What can I control and how much can I control? Some people might be really surprised with what we find out on this program. Again, joining me is my good friend, Kevin Lawrence. Go for it.
The truth is, like our mind, we control how we feel, right? One of the things that people will fall into a trap of is this whole thing where they nurse their emotional pain. You know, they just kind of live in that, oh, I remember when,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they kind of will continue to talk about how bad it was. You know, this one time or whenever I have this and people are hurting me and,
right.
you know, they kind of,
they just stay in it.
Yeah, they stay in that and then they'll rehearse it. You know, I've heard it said this way, with your problems, don't nurse them, don't curse them, and don't rehearse them. Stop doing those things. That's what we could control emotionally, you know. To the extreme, a lot of reasons people use substance, alcohol, drugs, because that's how they're dealing with that
that's
emotional
right.
pain.
Exactly. Right. So I can relate to that on a certain level because when I had lost my third baby, the temptation there of just using something to fade away the pain was there big time. Just wanted a magic solution to not feel so bad.
Right.
And it was really strong and I knew that was very strong. And so I decided, okay, I'm not going to do that. Cause what's the alternative? I'm not going to really help myself and I'll probably get myself in a worse situation. Mm-hmm. So if I would have gone down that road, then I could have developed a problem where I would have needed more help to get over my right. substance abuse issue right. exactly. on top of my emotional issue. Okay. I want to leave as little problems I have to deal with as possible.
Life's hard enough.
Yeah. yeah.
You want to create more problems.
And I did hold on to the verse that said, sorrow may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. So that to me was telling me eventually my pain was going to go away.
Yeah. And that's it. You've got to hold on to the hope. See, people who continue to stay in that emotional pain, they don't feel they have any hope. But they need to know they can control that. Right? They don't have to walk around spewing it on everyone else. I worked with a lot of people who were, you know, they're alcoholic substance abusers. And they got off of the substance, but emotionally, they still processed in a very negative, painful way. A good friend of mine one time, he struggled with alcohol and he knew that he was an alcoholic and I'm just there to love him, encourage him. I asked God to help me make a point. I never looked at his behavior. I mean, obviously his alcoholism was damaging to him.
Mm-hmm.
But when I spent time with him, I just wanted to always remind him that God loves him and his behavior is a result of the anger in his heart. Because when you look at the medical side of what alcohol does to the liver, right? And mm-hmm. the liver is that's the anger organ.
That's what I've been told.
Yeah. And when you research it, you look at it.
Yeah. In my essential oils that I've been dealing with, they say that you hold a lot of anger in your liver.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and your liver it helps you process. It helps clean your body out. It's kind of like your kidneys are it's a filter, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the anger organ is the liver. So people, alcoholics, by and large, are angry people. And when they get off of the alcohol, they're still dealing with the anger in their heart. And when I told this to my friend, I pat him on the chest right where his heart is. I said, man, you can stop drinking, and that's good if you do. That's great. You know, you don't want to be on the juice. But I patted his chest, and I said, but then you're going to have to deal with the anger that's in your heart, man.
Mm-hmm.
And he just started crying. Because he knew the truth of that,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's that emotional pain inside that we can get free from and we can break those chains and we can control that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to live in that emotional consternation all the time. That's what we control. When I think of the emotional pain, the Apostle Paul comes to mind for those who are listening that know scripture or read the Bible. But the Apostle Paul, his history was he persecuted the church.
Right.
And he went after people who said they believed in Jesus. He thought he was protecting, you know, the temple and the Jewish leadership. They believed in God and Adonai, and they thought that this new sect of believers who believed in Jesus was taking away from that. So in his mind, he thought he was doing good things. But he actively went after people and to abuse them, to persecute them, to put them in jail, to kill them. And later on in his letters to the church, when he after he converted, he said, one thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to put everything behind me. I'm going to push on to the prize. I'm moving forward. And I would often think, Amber, about what he would process mentally and emotionally. Because even though he converted and he said, I believe Jesus, his past history and his actions didn't go away.
Because he was killing people.
He was.
Can you imagine? Yeah, at the time he felt justified doing it. But sure. When you realize the truth, carry that guilt with you. I killed people. Carry that with you. That's terrible. You feel awful.
Yeah, it doesn't go away. You don't forget that no. You did it. You don't. You can't eliminate how it felt. And you're right. He processed that. So he was a human being. You know, he said, hey, I'm chief sinner. He's the first one to raise his hand and said, mm-hmm. least of the apostles, I'm the chief sinner. Because you knew where he was and where he came from, right? So he says, this is one thing I do is I forget those things that are behind. I leave them behind me and I move on. So just to the point of in our emotions, we nurse and we curse and we rehearse our problems. Everyone does that. How do we get free from it? We need to leave that behind and move on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the other thing that I think that we control is our actions, right? I mean, really? We control our actions. No, the first, you make me so,
oh, yeah.
And then drop the word, make right. me angry. Why do you make me do this and stuff? Okay, well, first of all, no one makes us do anything. We choose to do that. That's our action that we need to be responsible for, right? As parents, and one thing I try to do as a dad is eliminate from my language when I get frustrated with what's going on with my children is, why do you do that? You make me so mad. See, that's a rejection. We talked about rejection one time. That's a rejection dump on the kids. Because now what you're doing is you're telling your child, you're responsible for how I feel, which is a lie. You know, well, I'm responsible for how I feel. No one makes me feel any way. I choose to feel that way. Okay? No one makes me, you know, do whatever action I do. I'm the one that's responsible for how I act, how I behave. You've seen people make excuses for that, right?
Yep.
Yep. How does that? What does that do to you when you see other people making excuses for their behavior?
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
It is. It is.
You know, whatever triggers my behavior has to be what I'm responsible for, and I need to be aware of. Hey, I'm about ready to tee off on someone.
That's right.
I need to get my anger under control.
That's right.
You know, I'm about ready to do whatever I do, and that's my choice.
And, you know, we all have ways that we can deal with that, mm-hmm. but we have to choose to do it in a positive manner. And a lot of people say exercise is the best way to yeah. deal with all that, because then you get good endorphins going, and then or taking deep breaths or going for a walk or just saying, I need some alone time.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of good techniques that we do need to implement. And that I, you know, I support all those things. But we've got to get to the baseline first of
that's right.
accepting, okay, I control this. You know, if someone said, well, I have to work out because or exercise or I need to do whatever I need to do because they make me so mad and I just can't handle that.
Mm-mm.
No, stop. Hold on. Because then what we do is we begin to depend on the technique as the solution. And it's not. It's our mindset, our thinking first and being responsible. That's baseline. Okay, now how can I make sure I you know, support that and really solidify that? Techniques help. Breathing exercises. Taking a walk. Exercising, reading a book, whatever it is for that person. But I have to be responsible first. So I control how I act and behave. Okay. And then the fourth one is decisions. I decide what I'm going to do. No one puts a gun to my head and tells me what I'm going to decide or not decide. That's on me 100%. God gave me that gift.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to decide to do? And that decision is reflected in the other three.
Right.
What I think, how I feel, and how I behave. Those are all predicated on the decisions I make.
And those decisions can affect people positive or negatively.
Well, my decisions, yeah, they definitely have a weight. They leave, you know, the influence.
That's right.
Okay, my decisions will influence people around me. So in where I want to draw a line where I'm not going to sit and worry about, oh my gosh, if I do this, how's that going to make, you know, my Aunt Gertrude feel? Or is it going to make my dad mad? I don't want to live in that, but I want to be aware of it.
That's right.
You know, I don't want to live on that performance trip to make everyone happy with my choices.
Right.
At the same time, I want to be aware, how are my decisions and my actions going to be influencing other people? You know, I choose to be committed to the things that I want to be committed to. I choose to go where I want to go. No one else is going to make me do that. So that's what I control. Those four things. The way I say it is this: I control inwardly, but I influence outwardly. I can only control me, Amber, and what's going on inside of me. But I definitely do influence those around me. So back to what we were talking about earlier when I said, look, mm-hmm. so people listening to this go, no, I can very much control outcomes.
Right.
Okay. Well, I would say it this way. You can influence and manipulate.
Right.
Maybe you get that outcome. Maybe you don't. You have a chance of. Okay. But the truth of the matter is we are all very influential, and we need to be aware of the influence that we carry. And if we're going to influence, we want to influence to the best and to the most positive result, right? But we can't control that outcome. What we got to do is master ourselves and control us. And that is enough, I think, to deal with through a lifetime, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You think that's enough for you to deal with if your marriage and being a mom is to, instead of focusing
on control myself? Yeah, I have enough to control with just myself. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I'm enough on my own. And you're right. I can't control my daughter. I can't control what she does. I can influence her, and I can try and raise her the way I'd like her to be. But at the end of the day, she has to make the decision. Is she going to listen to her mom and dad, or is she going to do what she wants to do? Mm-hmm. And you know what? We have that same relationship with God. I mean, God gives us parameters. He's like, this is how I'd love you to live. And I want you to live this way because you're going to be safer. You're going to have less pain in your life. You're going to be more productive. But you have that choice. If you don't want to live this way, then you can live outside of my guidelines and deal with the consequences. So it's the same kind of decision we have with our children as we have with God. And we are the ones that control that.
And let me ask you this. Do you really want to control your daughter?
No.
I mean, maybe momentarily.
Sometimes. In circumstances, sure.
Yeah. But ultimately, do you want your daughter growing up and having the experience and going off in life where her mom controls her?
No.
No. And then let me ask you this, and I'm going to assume the answer is no, but do you want Phil to control you?
No, absolutely not.
Do you want your
not.
Parents controlling you? No.
Nobody wants that.
No one wants it. I don't want to live in that.
All I want my daughter to do is grow up the right way. And the thing that when parents want to control their kid is when their kid, even if they're the good parents and they raise their children up the best they can and their children go astray and you know the thing that's going to hurt them, all you want to do is be able to control them and say, no, I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to get involved with these. And you want to so bad, but it's not in your control to do that. All you can do is try and be that good influence, like you said, and pray. Yeah. And I want to encourage people and understand people that God is the same way about us. People, God doesn't want people to hurt us, but people might hurt us down the road. People might do it in a severe manner. Some people might just do it in a minor manner where we talked about rejection or we get hurt. People lie about us. It's not stuff God wants from us, but God lets people do what they're going to do. And they have consequences for it, good and bad. Absolutely. It's the same concept we're talking about right now. So when people say, why did God, if God's so great, if God's so wonderful, why did he let this happen? Why did I get this? Or why did that happen to so-and-so? He didn't want that for anybody. But it's this decision-making process that he allowed because, you know what? He didn't want to control us because he wanted genuine love from us. He could have made us all love him and be this robot. But that's not the case at all. I'm kind of drifting off course, but
Actually, I think you're really right on with the idea of control. You know, it's because as a parent, ultimately, sure, I want my child to adopt my values and what I think is best for them. I want that. But more than that, I want them to be confident in who they are as a person, mm-hmm. right? And they're going to have to go through things in life where they mess up. My kids are going to have to screw up. If they don't mess it up, how are they going to grow? Mm-hmm. How will they be able to make the best choices for themselves until they know that when I did this and that was dumb? So now mm-hmm. I learn from that. And if as a parent, I'm constantly trying to control them to make sure or control their situation and circumstances, I cut them off emotionally. Mm-hmm. And they'll never grow and they'll never mature. They'll never know what it's like to deal with failure. Because mm-hmm. if you don't know what it's like to deal with failure, you're never going to really understand success.
Right.
Right. And parents impede that so much from their own children. I'll say this too, though. From a human standpoint, the reason that parents are always trying to control kids is because they feel out of control themselves. So since they're insecure and they're feeling out of control, the way they try to control that is to control children, right? God doesn't try to control us.
No.
Because God's not out of control or feeling insecure.
That's right.
God's very confident in who he is. He's the king of the universe. He's got it under control.
Well, we're coming down to the end of the program, and I'm going to invite Kevin to come back next week so we can continue our discussion on the things that we can control. Remember, instead of thinking about number one, just yourself, think about number two, somebody else, because eventually number two will look out for you. Why?